Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So I have been pressing in to the Lord on some matters regarding the condition of the body of Christ. And I love praying for people, and I love seeing God's heart work through people. And I'm bothered by certain conditions or patterns that people seem to be stuck in. And as I've been praying about this, I'm seeing stuff popping to the left and popping to the right. And I'm led to the Word of God for what He says and what His truth is and His plan. And He brought me into James. And I've been in James for a while now. And I was really seeking answers just for my own self, you know, on how to help people. And last week when I was in prayer, the Lord asked me to teach on James 1. And so I did. I felt like I was carrying this thing. And on Wednesday night last week, I preached, and we didn't make it through James 1. We probably made it through a quarter of it. And so as I was praying again, I really feel like this is a now word that will help us overcome. And so we're going to go into James again. And so if you have your Bible, you can open it. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm a slow reader, so you should be able to follow along. And one of the things that the Lord is reminding me of is, well, first of all, how many in here has ever been in a trial? Isn't he funny? How many of you are in a trial now? Okay, amen. So I've got good news. It's James 1. I'm just going to read some things, because here's the thing. Sometimes I see, I'll see a trial or I'll see somebody going through a problem, and I see the answer, but I see people reacting on their emotions or their flesh, which delays the blessing of the Lord. And so I can tell you from my own personal experience, I've walked through trials, and sometimes I was victorious, and other times it took me a while to find the way out. And so I'm hoping tonight and praying that if you're not in a trial now, I'm praying that this word is implanted in your heart and you will call upon it in time of need. And so, in the natural, when we hear the word trial, the first thing we think of is yikes, you know. No, not that. But that's an earthly thought, and that's an earthly standard and pattern, which most of us were, we model the behavior that we see, and so therefore we become. But God's word's very clear on trials, and I want to share some good news. It says in here, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I think we camped on this for about a half hour last week. And so I just want to say it again. Consider it. Are you even considering? Are you considering? I'm holding there because I see some of you are, no. Consider it all joy. So what does that mean? That means it's time to have a perspective shift. And the only way you can get that is through the Word of God. You can't get that from willfully trying. But I want to go on. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I want to land on endurance for right now. In the natural, we think of endurance as, oh, I'm just going to get through this. I'm gritting my teeth, and maybe my muscles will be built along the way. But I want to let you know what the Word of God says about that. It says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So I believe that there's a promise attached to endurance. If we can learn to press in faith, not with our flesh and gritting our teeth, but there's a place in God where we can rest in the knowledge of His Word and what His Word says, and align ourselves and our emotions with that, and we will walk in the victory. And when we do that, there's a promise. The promise is Let endurance have its perfect results, that so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oftentimes when we're in a trial, we focus and lay there in the trial and feel the emotions and the circumstances taking us captive. And we think, why me? You know, how much longer, Lord? Well, remember the Word of God says, behold, I give you authority to trample over all the works of the enemy. And it goes on. And so God gave us the authority to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the ways for us to enforce that is in faith while we are enduring the trial. And when we do it, positioning our heart, we have a choice to position our hearts. We can come grudgingly or we can come joyfully. And I'm going to give you the answer. Joyfully is easier. And remember that our emotions really are kind of stupid. They listen to what we tell, what, you know, if we let them lead us, they will lead us down the ditch into disaster. And then they'll change their mind at the last second and give us whiplash and bring us into another direction. They're so unpredictable. They're like a wild dog that is dragging us, and we're holding onto the leash, and it's just going, going, going. And we're to subdue our emotions. We're to learn how to master the flesh and subdue it. And so one of the ways is through trials. And what does the Word of God have to say about the trials in our life? And every trial has a blessing attached to it. Now, our job is to figure out not how to make the blessing happen, because it's already in. It's there. It's like the finish line. Our job is to align our heart and our mind and our emotions with what the Word of God says. And now some of us are you know, we don't really understand what the blessings are. We've lived in trials for so long, we don't know that there's a happy ending. And so I just want to remind you, if you need refreshing on some of the blessings that are for you, that Jesus purchased on your behalf, you can turn to Deuteronomy 28. And there's a whole bunch of blessings that you can meditate on. And that'll actually cause your faith to rise if you're in a trial. And so I'm going to move on a little bit further. And this is my favorite part. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I just want to say, I'm kind of breaking this up a little bit, but most people, when they're in a trial, they try to work it out in their flesh. And the Word of God, and what happens is the trial gets longer and longer and longer and longer, and then hope, you know, sinks, and then you start questioning, is God alive? Is God real? Does any of this make sense? And those are darts of the enemy that are being sent to keep you in torment. But God has purchased your freedom. And so if you lack wisdom in the trial that you're in right now, I've got really good news. Seek God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Many people believe that when they're in a trial, they think, and this may be true or not true, they may think, well, I caused the trial because I made this bad decision. But God's grace covers a multitude of sins. God's grace brings life all the time to any situation. He, you know, he's the giver of life in every area. If there's a dead situation, a dead cell, you can speak to that, and it will come alive if you have faith. And so I'm going to move on because I want to get through this, and I might go back to it, but I want to try and get a little further. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and an unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm the master at double-minded man, unstable in all my ways. God has had to renew and transform me. And I would come to him, here I am again, Lord, you got to help me with my unbelief. Lord, here I am again. I don't understand. I'm doing these things I don't want to do. Please help me. And because I come to him with faith, without reproach, he is a generous, good father, and he always leads me to truth. He'll always tell me, well, you're thinking this way, or look at the word, here's the way to go. Follow life. And so double-minded, you know, God has recently challenged me on double-mindedness, and it's kind of subtle how our thoughts work and how we can be 1 minute engaged in the Spirit and present with Jesus, and the next minute we're thinking about the cheeseburger in McDonald's drive-thru. You know, I mean, how many times has that happened? Well, I learned that I don't condemn myself when I think like that. I just repent. I say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Here I am again. Help me. Help me strengthen my spiritual muscles. What shall I do? And he has given me some really great tools to overcome my flesh. Have I mastered it? No, but I'm on my way. And double-mindedness, he's really challenged me with here's the thing. I can't do it without him, but I come to him and I ask him. And so one time I was laying in bed, and he gave me this wonderful scripture. And sometimes when you get a scripture from the Holy Spirit and it like gets dropped into you, it's like a life scripture, and it's like clothing that you wear, but you wear it internally, and it manifests externally. And, you know, he gave me this scripture, and I thought, oh, he wants me to teach on it. But really what he did was he put it in me for a season that was coming. And he was talking about being steadfast and immovable, always working, always and abounding in the works of the Lord. I thought, oh, yeah, the body of Christ needs that. Well, the day came when I saw something terrible, just heart-wrenching, and it almost caused me to stumble in my, not in my faith or anything, but it was so wicked, I had a hard time processing it. And of course, I felt the travail of the Holy Spirit, and I was crying. And after that had passed, I went to the Word of God and said, Lord, what have I seen? And what are you saying? And what shall I do? And he took me into Timothy, and I spent days just talking to him about a few things. But he reminded me. I was like, I still don't, you know, how does this all work? And I'll never forget it. I was actually taking a shower, and just like that, the Holy Spirit said, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm like, you don't want me to stumble over this. Press on. Press on and go for the prize, which is Jesus. And meanwhile, you bring captivity out, you know, the captives out of captivity and head towards the cross. And so, you know, as I'm praying and trying to seek his ways, because that scripture's inside of me, I can't be shaken, you know. And I didn't, like, meditate and pray for that to come. It dropped in me for the season that we are entering now. And one of the jobs that I have is to help people build their spiritual muscles and come in to truth and exercise their spiritual muscles so that they can grow stronger in faith and speak the Word of God and be unmovable when they see things happen in the earth. And we will see things happen in the earth. And so, being a double-minded man, I'm going to get back to that. God is really challenging me about my thoughts. And not that I have evil thoughts, but just, oh, cheeseburger, you know. He's teaching me to train my spiritual man for longer periods of time. You know, we start off as babies in the natural, and we start off as babies in the spirit realm too. When we're born again, we are babies, and we need to learn to develop just like we do in the natural. And the problem I see is some of us have developed in spiritually, and we think we got it. And because it's not bad like it was when we were, you know, wayward and living in the world. But God is calling us ever deeper. And one of the challenges that he's faced me with is my mind and dedicating myself and rededicating myself to what are we doing today, Lord? And mastering the distractions of our flesh. You know, every one of us has a bazillion things going on in a day. And most of it's junk. But some of it is a true, oh, I do need to pay that bill today. Oh, I do need to deal with that. But there's a way to stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit and work by the Spirit in a rested state. And God is trying to get us to come into him and be in a rested state. And when people start to hear this, they get weird. They're like, how do you live in a rested state? It's called his peace. He gave us his peace. He purchased his peace for us. And because of one of the things that I see as a problem for many people is, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. You can learn an awful lot from technology. But I'm seeing, you know, I'm reminded of the 70s when McDonald's was, you know, I think wasn't it in the 70s when McDonald's came out? And you could drive through and get a Happy Meal or a hamburger or a Big Mac in less than 5 minutes. And it was like, wow, you can get fast food in 5 minutes or less. And that was wonderful. And now you can drive and get, you know, they try to beat their records. You can get it in 3 minutes now. And then what's happened is we've been trained to expect food in 3 minutes. And how that correlates into the spiritual realm is God's word is to be mined. And our bodies and our minds have been, you know, subject to the elements in the natural where it's easy to expect to get fed in the word in 30 seconds or less. And that may happen, but chances are you're living on leftovers if that's the case. And God is like exposing what's really happening. Like it's like an agenda of the world. And it's not that it's a bad thing, because there are some good things from the word, but from the world. But what's happened is it's trained. It's like we've let our minds go to whatever it is that is around us, and we're believing whatever we see. And it's a slow, continual downward slope of compromise to what the Word of God is. And to the point where many people are so reliant on Google for their answers that they're no longer picking up the Word. And they're no longer checking in, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? There's a dull down. And the thing that I've noticed is, and I was just asking the Lord about this earlier, what I've noticed is Google is in control of your searches. Of if you search for a scripture, you might not get a Bible verse. You know, they don't have God's heart or your best interest at heart. And they are slowly compromising. There's a breach in the system, and God's exposing it in my heart, and he's calling it, he's referring it to me as double-minded. Be careful. What are you putting in your head? Is it really God's word? Or is it a version or some man's opinion? And many people are clueless to how to even pick up the word of God. You know, the young generation, they were raised on their phones. And my concern is, you know, I'll never forget when I heard Holly preach this message many years ago. And I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night because it was so impacting in my heart, where she was talking about, I actually think she was talking about soul ties back then and how people get dependent on other people. And instead of going to God, they ask their friend and stuff. And I was convicted in my spirit. I was like, ooh, that's me. And I hadn't developed a relationship yet with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know you could have talk, like I'm talking to you, with the Holy Spirit. And I remember her saying that she knew a testimony, and it was about some Christians in China who were persecuted. And if they were caught at a house meeting, they were taken to jail. They were beaten and taken to jail. And that they had to rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit to tell them where the meetings were, because they couldn't put it in print. And then there were angels of light that would show the way as they would go through the woods, but it wouldn't be lit up the whole time because they couldn't be found. So it would be like spots of it. And later, it wasn't that long ago, I read the book. It was The Heavenly Man. And I read it, and I'm like, it brought me right back. But when I heard that, it pierced me to my soul, because I was like, Lord, if there is a time when they take away, when Google shuts us down, you know, when they take our Bibles, if that ever happens, we have to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on His truth. And He's the one, He helps us in discernment. He leads us and guides us in all truth. He is the Father of truth. And He's our comforter. And so it's so important to know Him. Not just about Him, but to know Him. And to practice spending time in the presence of the King of Kings and learning to slow ourselves down and shut the world out and get a grasp of what he's saying to us today. Because his ways are higher, and he's calling us deeper, and he's trying to bring us into this place of victory, and these circumstances all around us are screaming and trying to stop us from pressing into the truth of the Father. And God, I see him like tightening up a belt, like in the spirit, like he's calling us. The bell's ringing, and those that have ears to hear will hear. And it's not too late, but it's, come on, we got to get in the training. We have to show up into the camp of the Holy Ghost and learn the walk of the Spirit. And meanwhile, distraction, crisis, fire, all this stuff is screaming. But I'm going to tell you a secret. There's a place of God where no matter what is going on, you can check in and say, Holy Ghost, what do you say? And most of the time he'll say, press on, or speak a word, or shut it down. And if we do what the Father tells us to do, we will always walk in victory. God's trying to get us to sharpen our muscles. Remember how Jesus said, I only do what I saw my Father do in heaven. That's for us. That's not just for Jesus, that's for us. There's a real spirit realm out there, and there's a war going on. And whether you want to be in it or not, if you said yes to Jesus, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and you're a soldier. You're an heir. You're royalty. And God is trying to raise us up into our positions in the body of Christ. He's trying to teach us how to wield the sword, how to walk in truth, how to split the sea, how to mend a bone, how to heal people, and cause limbs to grow out. This isn't old-time stuff. This is modern. This is today. This is the greater works you shall do. We're in that, but we have to start showing up for class. And I'm not saying go to a meeting. I'm saying show up every day in your prayer chair and say, what are we working on today? And oftentimes it's he's working on us. He's trying to get us to renew our minds. He's trying to let us lay our family members down. I'm going to tell you something. Family members are wonderful. But when they become idolatry, when they become more important than the Lord, they bring a curse. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a way to walk in truth. There's a way where you can take your situation and give it to Jesus. You can lay it at the cross and say, you know what? I don't know what's best, but I know you do. I'm giving this to you. I'm laying it down. Lord, I bless it. If you're going to raise it from the dead, you raise it from the dead. And when you walk away, not in unbelief, but in faith, that he has the answer for every situation all the time, and that we know nothing. Half the time, when we're holding on to a family member, I'm actually seeing in the spirit a picture of a mom holding on the leg of their son, he's grown, and she's trying to put his shoes and socks on him and get him to move. At that point, it's too late. I'm going to tell you something, that's wrong order. We put the socks and shoes on our kids up until about the age of 3, and then we teach them how to put their socks and shoes on. And if they haven't learned, you haven't been able to teach them, so stop trying and put that person at the cross. And I'm not looking at anybody in here, so if I make eye contact, I'm really not. So don't think I am. I'm looking at the floor. But God cares more than you do about that person. God created that person in his image, just like he created you in his image. And you're messing with God's image. And so you're trying to repaint the picture. Let it go. Let it go. God's ways are higher. And trust. Here's the thing. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And God, this isn't an opportunity to worry and fret. This is an opportunity to grow in faith. And when you make, here's the coolest thing, when you have a hint of, okay, I'm going to do this, even if you don't have faith, but if you make the movement, faith is activated. Yeah. It's supernatural. So you can weigh the pros and cons and use a piece of paper and left side, right side, reasons why I should continue to try to get my children to walk in God, reasons why I shouldn't. Throw that thing away, because your mind is actually causing a delay. because you're putting a limitation on it, because you're working it out in your flesh. And remember, there's a scripture, in your flesh dwells no good thing. And so God is trying to breathe life. He heard your prayers the very first time you prayed it. But because you keep praying, you're actually, and you're praying not in faith, you're praying in fear and trembling. You're holding on to that thing like it's like an idol. And God is saying, let it go. And when you let it go, here's the cool thing. We don't know how it's going to work out. But we know God has the best answer and the best way. And oftentimes it never goes the way we think, which is really good because it's always better than what we think. I'll never forget the time. My son, for those of you who don't know, we went through a split in our family. And my son, both my kids were with me, and my son was living in my basement. And he was king of the basement. He liked it down there. And why wouldn't he, I think he was in eighth grade, maybe freshman, I don't remember. Sophomore, I'm not sure. And maybe he was graduated. I don't even know. truthfully, I don't keep track. But anyway, I remember him loving it down there. And I remember when the day came when the Lord said, he needs to go live with his father. Now, in the natural, that would seem absurd. And if I would have said, you're crazy, Lord. I didn't say a word. I listened because he always knows best. And see, we have a proven track record. I trust him with all things all the time. I never used to, but it was a work in progress. We worked on the little things first, the very small things. And then slowly as I let go and believed, I watched what he did, and every time it was so spectacular, I could have never produced or reproduced what he did. See, because he brings, when there's something dead, he causes it to live. He'll cut the branches completely down and life will come forth. And sometimes it needs to be leveled to the ground because it's crooked or it's built by the flesh and it's not right. And God's like, I can't, all or nothing. Half measures avail us nothing. And so with my son, I remember when he told me that, I'm like, okay. And what the Lord said to me is, there's things that he needs to get from his dad that you can't give him. Now, in the natural, anybody would be puffed up. Well, what do you mean? But I'm like, okay. Faith as a child, okay. It didn't make sense in the natural, but okay. And so I had the talk with my son, and I said, I feel like you need to go live with your dad. And he was like, really? Because we're close. I said, yeah, I prayed, and I feel like that's what the Lord said. And he's like, okay. And so we let the dad know, and the dad's like, okay. And I'm going to tell you something. Today, my son is a very productive young man, okay, who holds a job, who owns a house, and has a wonderful heart. I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't obey the Lord, my son would still be living in my basement, and I would still be bringing him food and wondering if he's okay. I don't wonder if my son's okay. I know God's got him, and I know he's okay by the Spirit. I'm not saying I don't talk to my son, but I don't fret and worry and micromanage. I'm like, Here's the thing. There was a day when I turned both my kids to the Lord. I said, I did the best I could. And I may, it's not looking good here, but I know you're better, and you know what's best. I don't know what's best about nothing, but I know you do. And I took both my kids, and I laid them on the altar, and I said, do with them as you will. And I didn't walk away and turn my back. I said, they're yours. And so when the day came, when there was trouble, I said, hey, Lord, these are your kids. Do you remember that night? Actually, it was a day when I gave them to you. What do you say about the situation? And he worked it out. Did it go the way I expected? No, it never does. Because his ways are higher. He's got great and mighty things for our children and for us. His ways are higher. But we have to let go of what we think or how we think things should work out. God's ways are so high, and the limitations are limitless in him. And I'm thinking of that scripture, in him we live and have our being. That's a wonderful place to be, because in that place, there's always peace. Now, I'm not saying stuff doesn't happen. It happens. But when it does, it's kind of like, Oh, Lord, what do you say about that? And I may not say it right away, but I've learned one thing. Don't open your mouth unless you're going to glorify Jesus. Because the enemy's waiting for us to say, oh, darn, that stupid so-and-so, or why does this always happen? And then the enemy runs with that as a license and goes, aha, we can come in and take over territory because she opened up her gate, her wide mouth. And so then when it used to happen, I'd say, oh, Lord, I repent. I'm so sorry I spoke this way. I know your word is true, and I know you only have best for me. I am so sorry I spoke this. I break those words in the name of Jesus. And Lord, please, you know, help me understand your truth. So it's trial and error, until finally the door stays open, and I know no matter what happens, it's always good. It's always good because he's always good. He cannot hurt us. He has no ability to hurt us or cause us pain. He always causes us abundance and overflowing in every area of our life, according to Deuteronomy 28 and all the promises in his word that were fulfilled by Jesus and released to us. So I'm trying to get back into James. So I'm going back to the double-minded man because I'm like stuck here with every day I'm asking the Lord. You know, I remember the day when the Lord trained me about boundaries and people and really seeking the kingdom of God first and not letting other people motivate me or sway me. Maybe it's something fun. Maybe it's work-related. But that always causes burnout. So I've learned to set boundaries, and I push people to the front door instead of cutting through the side yard and climbing through my window. And, you know, it's a parable. And so, you know, and I feel like that has been established. Those boundaries are established, and it took a while to work and keep the fence line up. And every once in a while, somebody will try to knock down my fence line, but I've no longer react like I used to. And so some of you are like at the boundary line, like I even need to get some boundaries. But I feel like tonight the Lord is really talking about mastering double-mindedness. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And, you know, the reason why he's trying to get us to recognize even what's going on is because so many of us are clueless that we even are thinking thoughts that we're thinking, and like we're actually in captivity because there's like cycling thoughts that are holding on to us. And so God is like trying to get us to recognize his goodness and his promises, and to speak and meditate his promises of life. I'm not saying that we don't have situations, but if you focus, you know, where you focus is where you go. If you focus on the situation, you're going to be stalled into that situation forever until you change your focus. And God has a plan, and it's called his word of God. And if we can focus on his promises and what he has said and see the victory, and even if we can't see the victory, if we can see what the Word of God says, it brings us to victory. And that's the higher way. And so with our thought processes, God is like challenging us to instead of running to Google or to our friends or the world system, he's challenging us to say, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? You know, I catch myself when I'll think of a scripture and you know, there's first nature and second nature. And first nature, it should be, Holy Spirit, could you give me the reference on that? But oftentimes I found myself lazy and going, Google, what's the reference for, you know, so-and-so scripture? You know, he knows all things. And so we know all things. And so we need to tap into him who knows all things and sharpen our muscles spiritually regarding that. Okay, I'm going to get back in here. So we have to ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive things from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. I love that. I just love that scripture. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. See, for the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off and the beauty of his appearance is destroyed, so too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. This is huge. Now, when I read this before, you know, it talks about the crown of life that the Lord has promised us. But in the very next verse, it's talking about when you're tempted, God can't tempt you. I believe this is an earthly position that has spiritual matter. You know, the crown of life is huge in itself, but we get to walk in his crown of life. We are the ones that are walking in his blessings. And double-mindedness causes delay. The enemy throws these darts. Are you sure? Did God say? And here's the thing. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. How do you persevere under trial? Well, over here, you ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of a sea, tossed to and fro. But if we go to God and ask, who gives generously without reproach, it will be given to him. So we have to realize that God's word is true, and if we go to him, he has the answers, always. And, you know, I love his word, and I love Holy Spirit. I love spending time with Holy Spirit and asking questions. Sometimes when I ask him questions, like I'll be on something, and I'll have these questions, and I'll ask them, and if I don't hear right away, I don't worry about it. I used to be like, oh, I have to know, why aren't you talking to me? I've learned that he heard my question, and I kind of explain it like this. It's not a great analogy, but it's kind of like fishing. You throw your pole in with the bait, your question, and you wait, and then there's a bite, and what a surprise when you get the answer, you know. So sometimes he answers me right away, sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes, I don't have this happen too often anymore. In fact, I can't even remember the last time. But sometimes the pressures of the world seem to push. And I would struggle with the ability to hear what the Holy Spirit was saying. I couldn't find the place of peace where I could hear clearly what he was saying. And I believe that has to do with training and being double-minded and not trusting. But I remember learning through Holly one night when she was talking about strolling. And I love this because it saved my life in my early days. I used to be a very hard worker in the natural, physically. I work. And so when I would be asking questions of the Lord, I had a hard time slowing down my thought processes because I was always geared up. And when she talked about strolling, she used to walk around the lake and stroll and ask the Lord questions. I was like, strolling? What is strolling? And you know, some people stroll maybe like this. My mind can't hear God when I'm going that fast. And so what I would do is when I had questions and I needed answers, I would go outside, and it was usually late at night, and I would stroll, and I would say, Lord, I don't understand. You know, one of my kids is doing this. I need some help. What are you saying about this? And I would walk like this. And I would feel my mind start to slow down, and then I could feel the peace of God rise up and almost like overtake me. And I'm not kidding. I would walk this slow, and then I could hear him clearly what he was saying. Now, some people would think that's crazy, but I'm telling you, it really works. And I love to connect people with the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yep.
Can you show them what not strolling is?
Yeah. So this is a day when, you know, this is how it used to be. Lord, I need to know what to do about the situation because, you know, I need to know right now. Hello? No, I'll call you back. Well, but I don't understand why. Okay. Lord, if you don't tell me, I don't know. How come I can't hear from you? Would you please just tell me? I know it's not you because you talk all the time, but what is the problem? Oh, the problem is me. Slowy downy. And so that's the difference between strolling and walking and stressing and fretting and taking on the world yourself. Did I answer your question? Okay. So, the Holy Spirit is our best friend. And we talk about this all the time. You know, don't leave home without him if you don't know him. You know, he always is talking. God's word is alive. I love his word because when you read his word, it reads us. I love how a scripture will just pop open and we're like, oh, this is where we're at today. You know, it's like the vitamin of the day. And I love it. And it might be the vitamin of the week or the month, you know, or the year, depending. And then maybe we'll add another vitamin along with it. But it's important. It's very important to develop our relationships with Holy Spirit. And Holly's got, we don't have any teachings out tonight because we're on sabbatical from works. I'm tired of unloading the car. 4 times this weekend. I asked the Lord. He said, don't worry about it. Okay. So, but there's a great teaching on the walk of the Spirit. For those of you who don't know, it's a 4-part set, and it goes into great detail on how to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you can get that online as well. Okay. So we were at, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I'm going to stop right there. I see over and over schemes of the enemy. When we're in a trial or a situation, it is so important to guard our tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. The flesh, untrained and undisciplined and ungenerated, will always lead to death and doubt and discouragement and disaster left on its own. And, I know anger is an emotion that rises quickly. And if you struggle with anger and responding out of anger, if that is your first response to situations, I've got really good news. God has the answer for that. God has taken that also to the cross. He did the great exchange with anger, and he gave us his peace, his righteousness, and his right judgment. And so it's really a disciplining of the flesh by going to the Holy Spirit and saying, you got to help me with this. It's no different than any other sin that we've struggled with in our past. You got to deliver me of this. I am so sorry. I keep doing the thing I don't want to do. Help me. What do I need to do? And when you come to him with a sincere heart, like a good father, he will give you the truth. He will give you the way to walk in his victory. And I also want to touch a little bit about temptation. You know, this is huge here. I could preach this for hours. So, one of the things I've seen with situations of, give me the words, Father, trials, it's easy to go into justification mode and settle or excuse or pretend it's not happening. And if you're in a situation where it's continually cycles, or you're in a trial and you are blaming, whether it be God, family, situations, I'm going to tell you something. God is never at fault for anything because He created us in His image. He has provided the way. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. The enemy points fingers and says, look it, God did that to you. God has no way, He cannot be a part of evil in any way. He's pure love all the time. His measure of standard is love in the fullness. And so recognizing where we're at is huge at coming out of where we're at. And that's why I like to say, Lord, what are we working on today? You know, because oftentimes it's not what I think. It could be a little judgment attitude in my heart. It could be a situation that maybe I didn't handle so well, or a trial that I went through, or anything. But blaming other people for your situation, or maybe even blaming yourself for your situation, never brings life. It leads to death and destruction, because it's not that we're not taking ownership. Here's the truth. None of us are capable of doing anything great. Jesus is the one who does great things through us. But we have to yield our vessels. We have to purify, go through the process. And then it's still Him, whether we're clean or not. He's the one that does things. And so, you know, He's talking a lot about, well, I'll just read the scripture. Let's just go there. So, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. I was thinking about the word implanted, and I was thinking how the word implant, how powerful the word implanted. You plant something in the ground. Let's plant an oak, an acorn, and watch that grow. And think of the ground that it's received into, and when the winds come and the storms blow, that thing's not going anywhere. It's implanted in the ground. And I was thinking of a cheaper measure, like an implanted tooth. You know, once that thing is put in there by the dentist, it's not supposed to go anywhere. It's not supposed to move. And the Word of God is big, huge, small seed, huge in growth in our hearts. And it's able to help us sustain through any season. So we're putting away filthiness and wickedness, and we're implanting the Word of God into our hearts. And when we implant, I'm going to tell you something, filthiness, there's no room. It like purges itself out. That's the cool thing about implanting the Word of God. What it does is it causes purity to grow inside our hearts, and these weird things, we're like, if it pops up, we go, oh, that's ugly, Lord, forgive me, and thank you for delivering me of that. And sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't know I thought that. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I repent. And you replace it with what the Word of God says. And so, but prove yourself doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at the natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. And I'm going to tell you something. This might sound shocking, but this is most of the body of Christ. You know, I'm just going to go on. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, this is huge. This reminds me of the turtle and the hare. You know, the Word of God is so alive and so powerful. If we implant it in our hearts, it's going to produce fruit of the Spirit. It is going to produce love. It is going to produce holiness. It is going to produce every good work. It's the Word that does it. It's the seed that goes in. We can wish, we can pray, we can hear good sermons, but if we don't implant the Word of God in our heart, we are like a man who hears something great and then says, what? And if you look around in the body of Christ, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but come on, what's wrong? Well, are we implanting the Word of God in our heart? You know, I think it was Derek Prince that said, when you read the Word reads you. And I can tell you, you know, I have felt conviction. I have felt love. I have felt power. The Word of God, there's nothing that can replace it ever. Ever. Because it's alive. It is the whole, oh man, I'm feeling it. The whole world is held together by the Word of God. You know, whew. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, the man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion is in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Strife and envy and pride. Those are fuel for destruction. And when we speak out of that fuel, our tongues are not bridled. And it brings great devastation. And oftentimes we see it's easy to spot somebody else who's being prideful. That's why we need the Word of God. You know, if you want to know what area to work on, the easy way is to say to your spouse or your kids, you know, what is it that bugs you about me? That's the easy way. But go to the Word of God and just read it and watch what happens. Because from there, the power comes along with it for the change to take effect. But if we do the counterfeit way of, oh, spouse, what is it that bugs you of me? Well, I'm going to try and work on that. It's a work of the flesh, and it will reap destruction. But when you go to the Word, and what are we working on, Lord? What are you saying today? And when something hits you, there's a choice right there. And at that moment, every distraction in the world is going to try to rise up because the enemy doesn't want you to walk in victory. The phone will ring. The kids will, you know, come out of the room and fighting and, you know, all kinds of stuff will happen. But see, steadfast and immovable. We have to learn the place of peace in God. There's a place of peace in Him. You know, labor to enter my rest. You know, labor to enter my rest. I used to think, you know, because I was always laboring, you know, doing the works of the flesh. How do you labor to enter His rest? And I'm going to tell you something. How I found that, well, I found it two times. The first time it happened, I was praying in tongues, and we came to a session where we stopped, and whoosh, I stumbled into His rest for the very first time. And I was like, this is wonderful. Too rested to even say that, but thinking it and thinking, I don't ever want to come out of this place. And did you know you don't have to? But I didn't know how to steward the place of rest because I had violations, boundary violations. You know, I was a man pleaser. I got to do this for them. My kids need this. Oh, work needs that. Oh, my spouse needs that. See, labor to enter His rest. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean to me? It means, Lord, I just acknowledge Him throughout the day, not just in the morning when I first wake up. It builds in relationship. I love you, Lord. What are we doing? What about that? What do you think about that? Or I just sit and worship Him and just love on Him. His presence is tangible. It's sweet. And it's great when, see, on earth as it is in heaven, we're to be carriers of His glory. Well, you can't carry the glory if you're not spending time with Him. And you can't spend time with Him if you're not in a rested state. Labor to enter His rest. And if you don't know what that means, ask Him to teach you, because He will. Oh, I heard this, Lord. Let's say you leave here and you say, Lord, I heard that lady. She said that. How does that work? Teach me. See, ask him the questions of your heart. When you ask him, he will always answer. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.